What is your reaction to this new rules on Arctic shipping that have been introduced by Transport Canada?
We're very supportive of the work that the Government of Canada has done on these. They're, I would say, an incremental improvement to the regulations that were in place before now. They essentially implement the Polar Code, which Canada has been working at the international level to create. And it's based largely on the regulations that were in place previously, but there are a number of areas where incremental improvements were made to strengthen them.
Now, of course, the Polar Code came into force in on January 1st, 2017. There were some people who said that Canada, there were parts of the Canada's Arctic Waters Pollution Prevention Act that were actually stronger than what the Polar Code required. Are you aware whether the government has kept those areas that were stronger under the previous act, or has it just leveled everything under the Polar Code?
For the most part, the areas where I think major improvements can be made in the Canadian regime are outside of the regulations that they've put forward this week. But there are some areas that where they have sort of loosened things a little bit. So one area is, for instance, they had a requirement for an ice navigator that needed in situ experience, so they needed to actually be have experience operating in ice covered waters. Now these ice navigators, they can be trained using simulations and things like that. So there are sort of areas where the government would say that the regulations have been modernized, but where in essence they have been they're slightly less stringent. Although I would say that by and large, the areas where the government has to do most of the work to improve the regime overall are other areas that they've decided not to include in these regulations. For instance, sewage and grey water, invasive species management, and heavy fuel oil, habitat protection. These kinds of things are the places where Canada's regime is less strong, but haven't been addressed in this regulation.
So, what do you want the government to do next to address this these issues?
Well, I think that the government needs to they've sort of put a pin in a couple issues that are really important, heavy fuel oil being one of them, saying that, you know, these regulations are really to get us in line with the international requirements. And we're going to revisit some of these other issues, you know, subsequently. So I think right now, one of the roles for Oceans North and other NGOs is to continue to hold their feet to the fire and make sure that they're doing what they said that they would do. They're continuing to push the envelope on these issues that are really around still ship operations. Another piece is that very few spaces in the Arctic have guidelines or regulations around ship operations. There's very few protected areas in the marine environment in the Arctic, and that's something that needs to go hand in hand with these operational regulations.
Now, in terms of things like heavy fuel oil use, Canada has supported environmental groups, indigenous groups at the IMO in calling for studies for the eventual phase out of the heavy fuel oil. How does it look internally in terms of regulating or banning heavy fuel oil use in the Canadian Arctic in the shipping operations?
It's a really interesting question because the Arctic communities rely so heavily on shipping to bring up, you know, all the goods and materials and food during that short season. And the shipping companies that do that resupply largely use heavy fuel oil because it's the cheapest fuel. So the government needs to be very careful, and as environmental advocacy organizations, we also need to be very careful that this phase out doesn't increase the cost of living in the north, which is already so extremely high. So it's a nuanced process that they need to undertake, and it needs to be well informed. So the calls for studies and some more economic analysis on how that cost can be avoided are really important. And I think that's sort of the next step for the government, is to really do a dive on how they can facilitate the phase out of this fuel use while ensuring that the cost of living in the north doesn't increase. And it's certainly possible. We know that they're able to do something like this. It's just a matter of how they want to move forward on it.
So what's the next step for you?
For us, we're very concerned that the habitat protection is a missing piece here. Ship operators don't have information on how to mitigate impacts and to specific areas. So we're working very closely with Indigenous organizations in the north to help create some of that information, including through the development of low-impact shipping corridors. We also want to continue to put keep the feet to the fire on these outstanding issues that are outside the scope of these regulations, because as the Arctic changes and we see more ships going up there, we need to ensure that these ships are operating at the highest possible level of stewardship, given that the environment is so fragile in the north. So they're on the right track, and we just have to keep working on this and keep developing these rules. The good news is that we have time. Ship traffic is still relatively low in the north, and as it increases, we need to increase our vigilance in step with that to ensure that we're prepared for those levels of traffic in the future. One issue that that we're finding is coming up is the issue of underwater noise.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the underwater noise issue is outside of the scope of these regulations as well, but it's something that can be very impactful to ecosystems in the north, because the species up there use vocalizations, underwater vocalizations, to understand their habitat, to work together. And ship noise can be incredibly disruptive to that, and can infringe on the species' ability to use sensitive habitat if very noisy ships are going through. So in particular around mine sites that are seeing intensive shipping. That's something that is a tricky issue, because we don't have a lot of information on it, and we're building that information right now. But it's something that I think future regulations will need to incorporate, because it's potentially one of the most impactful issues around the intensification of shipping in the north.